Good to be back with you all again this morning in our study of the Ten Commandments. Well, one of the key design features that God built in to the fabric of reality for human flourishing is the relationship between parent and child. Parents are with us before we're even conscious of them. They're there during our most helpless years, our most vulnerable years, and our most formative years. We inherit from them the very fabric of our own natural being, and whether or not we like to admit it, we do absorb their examples. We don't often appreciate the energy, the care, the love that they pour out in providing for us and protecting us and nurturing us until, of course, we have our own children, and then we realize exactly the cost that is involved. It can be said that there is no other relationship that has such capacity for joy and strength while at the same time having such capacity for pain or weakness than the relationship between a parent and a child. For some of us here this morning, our parents are our heroes. We hope that we can imbibe their teaching and their example and their character. For some of us, our parents are a mystery, whether it be from abandonment or death or simply they not being relationally available and distant for some reason, they are a mystery to us. For some of us, tragically, our parents are our villains. They have so deeply wounded us that we either will fight them or flee from them for the rest of our lives. And for some of us, we have parents that actually fit a mixture of all these different categories. Nonetheless, though, whatever our experience is and whatever kind of parents we may have and however old we are, we have the command from God Almighty to honor our father and our mother. Now, in our journey through the Ten Commandments, we've considered the first four commands that deal primarily with our relationship with God Himself, that we are to have no other gods, that we are to not to make any idols, and that we are to be respectful and venerate His name, and finally, we're to obey the day that He gave us and take that rest in Him. But now, the commands shift and focus on the relationship that we have with one another. And so we are now on the first command out of the last six commands. So we're on the fifth commandment that talks about our relationship with others. What's interesting is that this first command, and this is what I hope to show you today, that deals with human relationships, actually enshrines the relationship between parent and child as foundational to all other relationships. And so we're going to consider this command this morning as we've considered the others. We'll look at how this command actually reveals God, what it reveals about us, how it points to Jesus, and then how you and I are to live in light of it as New Covenant, New Testament believers. So would you pray with me this morning as we get into this text, because this is a sensitive topic for us all. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to be here among your people this morning. Thank you so much for the times that we have had this morning to glorify you, to honor you as our Father in heaven. We want to hallow your name, Lord, and we want to obey your word. And so I pray for your help. Would you enable me to be able to teach clearly and well your people? By your Spirit, would you apply your word to the hearts of those who are here today? And Lord, at the end of the day, may we all come out of this more and more transformed into the image of Jesus, more able to serve you, more able to trust you. And so, Lord, do your work, we pray. We ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm just going to move this because it's making me nervous. I tend to flail my arms around a bit. I think I'm going to hit it. All right, so let's take a look at how this reveals God. Now take a look there. You have your Bibles open in Exodus chapter 20. You're going to want to keep a finger also in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and also Ephesians chapter 6. So we're going to notice right away that this command has two parts. The first part is simple. It's the command itself to honor father and mother. And the second part gives us this promise or a basis for this command. And I want to unpack those two briefly. The basis for the command and what it means to honor parents. So we notice right away that this command, unlike the other ones, is not framed as a prohibition. There's no shall not here. This is a call to action, an activity to honor parents. And so what does it actually mean to honor our parents? Scripture lays out five aspects that I want to briefly review with you now. All of these aspects, by the way, are applicable at whatever age you are and your parents are, except for one. There's only one that is, I guess you could say, time-based. And that's the first one. Obey them. The first way to honor your parents is to obey them. And that lasts for as long as you're underneath their authority. As long as you're at home and unmarried. And you can trace that all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Because you see, the parent-bond relationship is so strong that the only time it's supposed to be ultimately challenged is when? For this reason, a man shall leave what? His father and his mother, and cleave to his wife and become one flesh. And so there's a change in allegiance there that God himself honors. But before that, parents are to be obeyed. Now, obeying parents is pleasing to God, provided there is a provision here that their directions do not contradict God's revealed will. So there is a limit to what you can do for your parents in good conscience and faith. On the other hand, disobeying parents is actually a defining mark of godlessness. We read of that in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Children who disobey parents consistently and frequently are, according to Scripture, godless. Second thing, respect them. That's another way in which we honor our parents. And we respect them in both our words and our deeds. So mockery, scorn, ridicule, crude language is not to be used directed toward parents, and I would even add around them. As the proverb states in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17, the eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by vultures. Feel free to use that on your kids later on today. We are to respect them, our words and our actions. The other way in which we honor them is we deal honestly and peacefully with them. Again, going back to Proverbs, the great book of wisdom in the Scripture, we read in chapter 28, verse 24, whoever robs his father or his mother and says, that is no transgression, is a companion to a man who destroys. Stealing from your parents is essentially doing the devil's work. In chapter 19, verse 26 in Proverbs also, we read this, he who does violence to his father and chases away his mother is a son who brings shame and reproach. So we want to deal honestly and peacefully. Stealing from parents and being physically violent towards them is evil and destructive in God's sight. And so to honor them is to deal honestly and peaceably with them. And finally, the fourth way in which we honor them is we care for them. Now what's really interesting is King David himself modeled this when he ensured that his parents were cared for well when he was fleeing from his deranged uncle Saul in 1 Samuel 22 verse 3. And then moreover, in the New Testament, we have Jesus rebuking the Pharisees for holding a tradition that effectively exempted them from caring for their aging parents. Jesus said they were abandoning this command. That's in Matthew 15, verse 4 and 6. And finally, the New Testament commands believers to care for their widowed relatives. That is in 1 Timothy 5:16. So you see, honoring parents involves caring for them when they can't care for themselves. So to honor our parents involves all these aspects: obedience, respect, honesty, peacefully, and obviously caring for them when they can't care for themselves. So if we are doing this, the command includes a promise. And this is right there in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. You'll see it, that your days may be long in the land. Now, we've got to spend some time on that phrase, because on the surface, it appears as though keeping this command comes with a promise of a long life. And then when we look in Deuteronomy chapter 5, there's the additional phrase that it may go well with you. So there's this idea of, oh, well, if I'm honoring my family, my mom and dad, then I'm going to have a long and good life. Let me give you a little insight. Obviously, every time you and I seek to obey God's word, his commands, there are going to be positive, far-reaching effects for us personally and for society. I want to give you four that come out of honoring our father and mother just very briefly. First, it promotes strong family bonds, because what it does is it calls for allegiance and loyalty to parents first before you honor anyone else. What is really interesting is that totalitarian regimes throughout human history have always challenged the parent-child bond. They've always gone after the loyalty of children to their parents. By the way, do you see that happening in our society today? Yes. Second thing obeying this command does is it instills an understanding of authority. From a very early age, you get to understand that you're not the boss. You're not the one in charge. There's a greater authority that exists, and it's not you. What I find is really interesting is we know that children naturally think that the world revolves around them, right? I often say to friends who just have a child, for the first year, baby is king. Baby will rule you with a fierce hand. He will dole out his blessings to you with coos and giggles and cuddles. But baby has a high demand and baby is king. But after the first year, baby must no longer hold the throne. Because if he does, baby's going to turn into a tyrant. We all know this. So you see, instilling this understanding of authority actually leads not just to a healthy family, but a healthy community and a healthy, ordered society. Third, it taught obedience to authority. Here's a news flash for you. We learn to obey by obeying. It's that simple. You learn to obey by obeying, because you already know how to rebel. Everybody knows how to rebel. People are naturally rebellious even toward legitimate authority figures. This is a trait of humanity. But unless people learn how to obey legitimate positions of authority, a functioning society is not sustainable. Finally, fourth point. In honoring parents, it actually points to honoring the ultimate authority, which is God. And so in learning authority and obedience and honor through the parental authority lens actually points to the greatest authority of all, which is God himself. And so all of these effects promote a healthy society. And I want to submit to you today that if respect and obedience and honor do not start in the home, it is hard for them to start at all. It's really where all of that is learned. So you see, there's this promise. But we have to understand, these effects, as good as they are not primarily what this promise of days long in the land is referring to. Because it's not promising a long and healthy life for all individuals who obey this command. But it's talking about, first of all, who's it talking to? Quick Bible lesson. Who's the audience? Israel. What land are they talking about? It's not Alberta. It's the promised land. You see, note, in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So in order for them to flourish As God's covenant people in the promised land, keeping this commandment was key. Obeying this command was actually tied to covenant faithfulness. And we learn later on in Israel's history from Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 7, that one of the sins of the nation for its exile, for getting kicked out, leading to its exile, I should say, was they failed to obey and honor their parents. So this command shows us that God does not take the relationship between child and parent lightly. He honors it. He has designed it with immense significance. Because you see, to honor parents was to actually keep covenant. It was a way to honor God first. Here's the point. God considers how we honor our parents as an expression of faithfulness to Him. Let me put it another way. How we honor God is expressed in how we honor our father and our mother. Now, it's no surprise today that our godless society seeks to undermine the importance of this relationship, and it has been doing so by trying to illegitimately remove parental authority from several spheres and replace it with state authority. Our society also considers the disdain and mockery of parents as acceptable. This is enshrined in media and in popular culture. Parents, excuse me, seem dispensable in our culture, in our society. They seem to be forgotten. And even when abused by children, it seems to be the norm. I remember I was in a toy store, and there was an 8-year-old boy there who was with his mother, and he was demanding a toy. And the mother refused to give it to him. And this kid laid into his mother something fierce. I cannot repeat what he said. And there was a group of people standing around watching this, and somebody said to her, as he was abusing her verbally, said to the mother, "Oh, he'll grow out of it." And I'm thinking to myself, no, actually, he will grow into it. He will grow into it. We wonder why there's such a fracturing of families today. It's because of the abandonment of the Word of God. And I do have to say this, you know, if widespread disobedience to parental authority is a mark of the last days, we know it is because 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 2 says it is, then clearly you and I are nearing the day. However, while our society is degraded, this command has not dissolved, even for the new covenant believer. And this is why I had Duncan read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3 this morning, because it still applies to you and I, even more so, and we'll get into that in our application. But flip over to Ephesians really quick. I want you to see something in Ephesians, starting in chapter 5. Now, Paul repeats the command in chapter 6. And he says this is the only command with a promise. And like I said, there are blessings that come with obeying this command. But it's not that you and I get to live long in Alberta, as wonderful as that might be. I wasn't sarcastic about that, but I genuinely meant it. Anyway, it'll change over time. But take a look here. Paul roots this exhortation to obey parents not just in the Old Testament, he roots it in the gospel. Look at chapter 5, verse 21. He says, submitting to one another out of what? A reverence for Christ. And then he gives a laundry list of what that looks like for husbands and wives and children and parents. And so you see, dear brothers and sisters, your honoring your parents is actually an expression of your reverence to Jesus. Without exception. So the question becomes, do we honor our father and our mother? Do we respect them? Do we obey them? Do we care for them? Do we deal honestly with them and peacefully with them And this leads us to the next question, which is, well, what does this command actually show us about us? Well, we learn in Scripture, Exodus chapter 21 and verse 17, and also Leviticus 20 verse 9, that to break this command led to destruction. The word cursed is used in Scripture for anyone who dishonored his father and his mother. Now that sounds awfully severe. Why? Well, as I said before, the way we honor our parents correlates to how we honor God. God has not imbued that authority lightly. He's not created that structure haphazardly. Now, if honoring our parents is about obeying them and respecting them and caring for them, then if we're going to have some honest self-reflection, all of us have failed at some point, either in public or in private, of what we've said about our parents behind their backs. Now, even if we've had wonderful parents and healthy relationships, as rare as that is in our day and age, we've all pushed back against their authority at one point. And if you don't believe me, ask your parents. They will gladly confirm what I'm saying to you. And even parents, we know this, right? As wonderful and as beloved as our little princesses or our little princes, there comes a day where they spit in your face. Metaphorically, hopefully. But it does happen. However, though, I do want to address that some of us fail to honor our parents based on their actions and their character. Now, I'm not talking about parents that don't get you the toy you wanted. I'm talking about parents that have perpetrated such evil on their own children, abusing their authority in such perverse betrayals of trust, that a command like this sounds almost cruel. You've got to be kidding me. For the daughter or the son who's been raped or physically abused and beaten by their parent, this command sounds absurd. And I want to tell you, I understand. But I want you to see the command for what it is. Notice it is a command to honor them, not love them. Sometimes love isn't possible. We're commanded to honor our parents. Why? Not because they are honorable, but because God is our creator and sustainer and savior, and it is his honor at stake. You see, the whole human scheme of relationships is derived from him. We read in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, that every family named under heaven is derived from the universal fatherhood of God. That doesn't mean everybody is in the kingdom. What it does mean, though, is that all human relationships are derived from his authority, his scheme for humanity. And so when we mock our parents, when we ridicule them, when we disobey them or neglect them, we dishonor them and we show that we don't really trust God in regards to our parents. And if you can't honor their position, how exactly are you going to honor God's? It's got to start with a very practical expression of the authority that God actually put in your life. I think if some of us are honest, we may be unwilling to honor our parents because we're questioning God's character. Some of us may think, did God really know what he was doing when he gave me my parents? Can God actually be trusted? Is he really in control? Is this really part of his sovereign plan? Can God actually restore and heal the mess in my family? Can he really work all things for the good of those who love him? I'm here to tell you this morning that the scriptures emphatically say yes. And I've seen that happen in my own life, and I can say yes, he can. However, we have to consider how this exposes us, and it shows that we've fallen short of this command, and you and I are cursed as a result. But there's good news. See, there is a Savior. There is one who actually obeyed this, and this is how it points to Christ. Now, I know sometimes when we are talking about our kids, we may hear compliments like, he's the perfect child. Have you ever heard that? Or she's the perfect child. Now, that only happened once in history. Just one time, and it was Jesus. Because Jesus, as the Son of God and the Son of Man, was truly perfect. So you have the divine second person of the Godhead who becomes human. And get this, He condescends to live underneath His parents' authority, ultimately for your sake. Listen, even though Jesus was the Son of God who created Mary and Joseph's life, He knit them together in their mother's womb. And yet, as a boy, and even as a young man, He still honored them. He obeyed the command perfectly, honoring father and mother throughout His life, obeying, respecting, and caring for. Listen, in one of the most beautiful pictures of Christ honoring His mom was when He's hanging on the cross in excruciating pain and He ensures she gets cared for. You know the part I'm talking about, right? Woman, behold your son. Behold your mother. And that disciple took her into his home for the rest of his life and cared for Jesus' mom. Wow. That's really good news for all of us who have fallen short of honoring our parents. Because of Christ's perfect obedience to His earthly parents and obviously His perfect obedience to His heavenly Father's command, all now who believe in Christ are forgiven and granted life forever in the new land that God is giving to us. You see, in Christ, through faith in His sinless life and through faith in His sacrificial death, you and I are not just given long days in a good land, we're given eternity and glory. Amen? You should have been cursed, but now you're blessed forever in Jesus. Now, for all of us who believe, we can rest in Christ's grace, but we also need to learn from His example. Since the Son of God honored His parents, how much more should we who claim to follow Him honor ours? Amen? Now, I know, and I'm aiming specifically at the young men in the room, also young women, because I know what it's like to be young. Long time ago. Some of you may think you're amazingly better than mom and dad. Some of you may think you're smarter, wiser, stronger, more able. And you know what? I'm not even going to contest that. Some of you actually are. But remember, you're not the God man who is infinitely better than his parents and yet obeyed them. So take a lesson, young man or woman, from the King you profess faith in. Don't think you're somehow better than Jesus and neglect to honor your parents. Now this leads us to six practical applications how to live this out as followers of Jesus. They're basic, but they're good, and then we're done with this. So how do we actually live now in a new covenant sense and honor our parents? Well, the command gets expanded like all of the commands do in Jesus. The first one is this. You've heard this already. Obey. Kids living at home, underneath your mom and dad's authority, do whatever they tell you to do. Here's three ways to do it. Immediately, cheerfully, and fully. Why? Because remember, ultimately, you are showing reverence for who? Christ. And so when mom and dad actually tell you to do something, you should be like, great, an opportunity to honor and revere who? Jesus. I'm on it. Boom. Immediately, cheerfully, and fully. And by the way, pretending not to hear mom and dad is just as dishonoring as it is to them as not doing what they've told you to do. And again, this command for obeying your parents is on you until you become independent. You move out or marry. Some of you are going to try to do that today. You've got to get out of here. But I want to tell you good news. You see, Jesus is both your example and your enabler. He did it. And He can grant you the grace that you need to do what is right and good in His sight. And the reward is actually a closer communion with God and a greater joy in Him. Second thing, respect your father and your mother. Now, I said it already, it's hard to fathom the degree of disintegration of honor for parents within our society today. It is not uncommon to hear kids use words that are crude and crass and rude against their parents. It's not even uncommon today to see children wanting to treat their parents like their peers. And just a warning for you parents out there, if you think that your child treating you like their peer is helping them, you're dead wrong. Your child needs peers. God did not assign you to be their peer. He assigned you to be their authority and their disciple maker. Do not abandon that for a comfortable relationship with your kid because you don't have any friends. Sorry, that was a little harsh, eh? Don't abandon it. They're not your peer. By the way, though, for kids, I want you to know this, young men and women, do not talk to your parents like you talk to your friends. And by the way, you need to be speaking respectfully to them and of them when they're not around. Again, out of reverence for? Amen. This is a hard lesson for me because I remember, you know, especially even when I became a believer, I used to blame my parents for a lot of stuff. And God put His finger on my heart one day and He's like, "You're not honoring me." I'm like, "Wait a minute, I'm supposed to be honoring my parents, but they don't deserve honor." "I know, but I do." What is really interesting, by the way, in any broken relationship, when you start honoring your parents, it acts as a healing mechanism to that relationship. Even when you're honoring parents who are not honorable, when you start honoring them, it acts as a rebuke to them. Because they instinctively know they're failing, and all of a sudden you give them honor that they don't deserve. It starts pointing them to Jesus. Third thing, deal honestly. Do not lie or steal from your parents. That's basic, but I got to give you something on the converse side. Don't lie or steal for your parents either. Now you might be saying, why on earth is he saying that? What kind of mom and dad does he think we have? Well, some of us come from homes that have been full of criminal activity. Some of our parents are not in the kingdom, and they actually seek the enabling of their children to help them carry on. And so enabling your parents to carry on whatever wrongdoing is wrong in itself, it actually dishonors them. So don't lie to them or do for them what they are responsible for doing on their own. Fourth, deal peaceably. Now, one of the things, especially as a dad, I mean, play fighting with my kids, I love doing that. It's good times. But if there is any malicious violence in the home, if a child is taking angry swings at his mother or his father, clearly something is severely broken in the relationship. And if that's the case in your home, I want you to know you're long overdue for intervention. And I want you to call for help. I mean, call the pastor, call the police, call all the people. You can't stay alone in a situation like that. You need more light on it, and therefore you need more intervention. Number five, this is one that's, I think, neglected in our society a lot. Care. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4, you don't have to go to it, but there Paul instructs Christians to care for their elderly parents, and I'll quote it, "Let them first learn to show godliness to their own household, and make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God." You see, helping our parents in the twilight years is actually part of honoring them, either by helping to maintain their home, helping them to cook, or even just spending time with them, even while their mind fades. Don't neglect your parents. You ever hear that song, Cats in the Cradle? Yeah, you know that song? I'm not going to sing it for you now. Download it later. It's a good lesson in that song. Don't neglect the care of your parents. Now, last one, and this is where the gospel comes into the whole thing. You got to forgive them. To honor father and mother often requires that we forgive them. This is easy to do when you're really young, but if your parents have sinned against you for a long period of time, up until your adult years, it's harder. But listen, if you and I have believed that God has truly forgiven us for the unforgivable at the cost of his own son's life, then to withhold forgiveness to parents, or anyone else for that matter, is really to sin against the grace that you proclaim saved you. You see, forgiving your parents allows for the opportunity for reconciliation and restoration to take place. I find it really interesting that in the Ten Commandments, it's not parents serve your children. It's what? Children honor your parents. The reverse, well, not the reverse, the right way is there. And I know it sounds like a high order for us to forgive our parents for some of the things that some have done, yet part of honoring them is initiating the reconciling process, and part of that is forgiving them. I'll share a little story out of my own life. I remember my dad, who abandoned his family, was a drunk, verbally abused his kids. I remember after my mom died, I sat in a car with my dad and I had it out with him. It was the most scary thing I'd ever done. And I sat with him and I said, "Dad, I want you to know I love you. You're my dad." And then I said, "But I want you to know I also know what you've done wrong." And then I listed them all. I was shaking when I did this. And then I said at the end, "Dad, I want you to know I forgive you. I just want you to be my dad. I love you." You know what he said? Nothing. He sat there in silence. A week later, the entire relationship with my dad, who had been estranged from the family, completely transformed. All of a sudden now, that man was free. He knew what he did wrong. And here was his son telling him about Jesus and the forgiveness that's in Christ, and then extending that forgiveness to him. And then 3 days before he died, he professed faith in Jesus. Honor your parents. Forgive them. Listen, I got to warn you though. If you do this, you may not get a reconciled relationship. There's no guarantee. I did it with no guarantee. You may not get an apology, but I want you to know, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you must do this anyway. Do you want to know why? Because unforgiveness is a sin. What do we pray every day? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Listen, unforgiveness is a brutal sin. It will leave you in a pit of bitterness that you dig for yourself. Bitterness is a pill you swallow hoping to bring harm to somebody else, but it never works. It always kills you. And when you extend forgiveness to your parents, when you seek to honor them that way, then you become free from bitterness. You become aligned with the heart of God who seeks to reconcile those who are lost, and it all becomes possible. I remember the story, and I'll close with this. Joel Lindsay has the story of his dad who murdered his mother when he was 6 years old. 20 years later, 20 years goes by, And he visits his dad in prison after hearing a sermon on this commandment. And it led him to reconciliation and healing after 20 years. His dad was in the kingdom. And I want you to know there is no sin too great and no time too long for God's grace to enter into a life and to heal it and restore it. Isn't that good news? So if you have failed to honor your father and mother up until this day, I got good news for you. God's giving you an opportunity to do it today, and he's giving you the grace to do it today in Christ, because in Christ you actually have all of the resources of heaven to do the impossible. Is that good news for you? I hope it is. It's good news for me. Let me end with this. Honor for parents is foundational. And it frames every other human relationship. It is where authority and obedience and honor are actually established and practiced. This is God's good design for the human family. But you and I get it wrong. Parents fail at this. Children fail at this. Yet, if you and I are worshiping and trusting and obeying in Jesus, living in His grace, then restoration is actually possible. Freedom is actually available. And so let us, by His grace, honor father and mother. Amen? We're free and we're done. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time with your people. Lord, thank you for a simple but a profound command to honor mom and dad. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here today that you would strengthen family bonds, that you would bring healing and restoration into broken homes. Lord, that the grace of Jesus Christ would act and move and empower and restore the years that the locusts have robbed. And Lord, I pray for the young men and women who are seeking to obey this command. Lord, may they do so cheerfully and quickly and joyfully, and may they do so knowing that they're reverencing you, and may you bless them with long days in the land, and that it may go well for them, and may it go well for us as a community of your people. Thank you so much for your goodness and your grace to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.